In fairness to Mark's commanders, they did not put their first string out there, so we'll be given a pass. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, where we will be actually digging into the scriptures. Last week was a bit of an introduction to this text, and I hope it served you well. We looked last week at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and the fact that it should not be used to say that there should be no judgment of any kind by the Christian. We are called to be discerning. We are called to be determinative. We are to know the difference between truth and falsehood. We are to know the difference between good fruit and bad fruit, good doctrine, bad doctrine, sinful behavior and right behavior. These things are not relative. They don't change from day to day. They don't change from individual to individual, from person to person, or even age to age. Culture cannot dictate them. Society does not dictate them. Even the court system of humanity cannot dictate these things. These things are determined by God Himself, who is unchanging. So the vast glorious truths of Scripture are unchanging from beginning to end, from eternity past to eternity future. And where do we find these different truths? Well, we find them in the Scriptures. God's precepts, God's commandments, God's Word. That's where they're found. That's our gold mine. The created creature, which would be every single person who walks the face of the earth, does not get to make that determination between right and wrong, good fruit and bad fruit, good doctrine and bad doctrine. The Creator does. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? That what is made would say to its maker, how did you make me so? Or what is formed say to him who formed him, he has no understanding. Woe to the one who contends with his maker. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Who are you, O man? Says the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, to answer back to God. And I'm reminded even now of Job. When the Lord reveals himself, Job's like, oop, I'm not going to say a thing. So God has laid out his precepts. God has laid out his word to humanity. He has determined what is right and wrong. He has determined what is good and bad, truth and falsehood. Why and how? Because he himself is holy, holy, holy. He is altogether righteous, altogether good. And those who are called by his name, those who have named the name of Jesus Christ, those who have trusted in his Son, Jesus Christ, those who are indeed called his ambassadors, are called to be the light of the world. That's Scripture. Are called to be the salt of the earth. And we are called to bear the truths of Scripture and the Word of God wherever we go. And apply them to every circumstance. So, the next time someone tells you that the Bible says not to judge, gently correct them. If they use Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 alone, lovingly and humbly say, hey, come on over here. Let's sit down. Let's keep reading. And you tell me what Jesus is saying from the text. Remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the goal is not to win the argument. The goal is not to be right, as it were, but to reveal the truths of Scripture. And all with the purpose of what? To pointing people to the love and the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Not to be done arrogantly, not to be done in self-righteousness or pride, thinking that we ourselves are perfect, because I don't know a single true Christian who sees himself as perfect, but saved by the grace of the Lord and Him alone. So, as I said last week, be very, very careful how you judge, the way you judge, and the way that you wield the sword of truth. Be very careful in the judgments that you make and how you make them. That's Jesus' entire point here. And it's a heart check for everyone who's listening then and everyone who will listen now. The progression of truth is this. Jesus gives the statement, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Then the explanation, the clarification in a nutshell, verse 2. Then the illustration, wonderful illustration, verses 3 through 4. And then fourthly, the designation or the condemnation. That will be verse 5, hypocrite. And then we'll finish up with verse 6. Follow along with me as I read our text this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And then, almost like it doesn't belong, but it does belong in fact, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the words of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you that you have penned them for all eternity, that we might even now, 2,000 years later, look over them and be touched, moved, convicted, that we might learn and grow in you, and that these words might help us in our walk with you. And that is our hope this morning, Lord. Meet each one of us where we are before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, is Jesus telling us we are not to judge at any time, anywhere, anyhow? You tell me. No, of course not. Plenty of biblical references. I gave them to you last week. So the big question is, okay, what is Jesus telling us? All right, let's begin in verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Here we have Jesus' opening statement. It's pretty clear. It's pretty basic. You just look at it. We kind of know and understand what he's saying here. The word judge is in the imperative mood. That means it is a command by our Savior. You must not judge so that you will not be judged. Judge here, as I said last week, is an extremely general term. It has several nuances to it, just the same way as our English word judge means. It can mean to make a selection, to select, to prefer. It can mean to pass judgment on something or someone. It can mean to analyze, to evaluate. It can mean punishment. We've seen in Scripture where it says, "And the Lord judged Sodom and Gomorrah," and so it refers there to the actual punishment of the Lord. And it can also mean condemnation, condemnation by rulers, and ultimately, unfortunately, if it is the case, condemnation by God Himself. What dictates what judging Jesus is talking about? The context, right? I always tell you, context is king. So, the distinction that Jesus Christ is making in the text is a very, very important one. Why? He's telling us that as His disciples, that there's a type of judgment that you yourselves ought not to judge with. There is a type of judgment that brings condemnation by God. Note that. The judgment spoken of here is not the courts, manly courts, humanly courts. It is the godly court in heaven. How do I know that? In chapter 7, verse 2, will be judges in the future tense. So we're talking about eschatological judgment, eternal judgment. This type of judgment, whatever it is, carries with it eschatological judgment. So, not all judgment is bad, but a certain type of judgment is absolutely devastating. So bad, in fact, that this type of judgment incurs the wrath of God, incurs the judgment of God. Serious stuff, folks. Challenging stuff, stuff we should look at, and stuff we should seek to apply to our own heart to make sure that we're not doing it in this way. You are going to be judged by God if you judge in a certain type of way. And Jesus begins wonderfully with an explanation in verse 2. I have that. Let me just see if I have that for you. All right. Now that word "for" is an explanatory gar. It means I'm going to begin now to explain exactly what I was talking about in verse 1. Verse 1, you might have a little bit of, that might be a little bit vague to you. You may not understand it. But now in verse 2, I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. If you notice, our scripture reading was from Deuteronomy, and I was asking Don, did you notice how that might line up, the whole concept of weights and measures? You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord put a lot of emphasis on having the right weights and measures. And that would be if you were measuring stuff with different weights, right? You would use different weights secretly if you wanted to get more in return. When you went to the market and you weighed something out, you would use a different weight in certain circumstances so that you could get more back in return, or you would use a different weight if you wanted not to give the other person so much. And that's why at the end of it, there was such an excoriating condemnation by God. Do not use different weights. With what judgment you judge, you will be judged. There's that word. That's a future aspect. And with what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. God is going to apply the same standard of judgment to you that you apply to others. God is going to measure you in the same way you measure others. You want to judge someone according to a very specific set of criterion, okay, fine. But God says, here, I'm going to judge you according to those very same criteria. This is simple, but profound. Why? Because what's our natural tendency? Our natural tendency as human beings, when we judge, is to tend to judge other people more harshly than we judge ourselves, to measure ourselves to a lesser degree than we measure other people. We all like to give our own selves the benefit of the doubt, but when it comes to the other person, we don't do that. But we seldom do that. Scripture tells us that we should give the other person the benefit of the doubt, but oftentimes even Christians don't. We're quick to judge the minutest thing in someone else, but when it comes to ourselves, we seem to be blindly unaware of our own shortcomings. Now, if Scripture, then, is your truth and your guide, if Scripture, then, is the measure by which you as a Christian are measuring others, are you, as a Christian, holding yourself up to the very same standard by which you are judging others? It's an important question. It's only a question you can answer. It's a question you should answer. Several years ago, I learned that there was this app, and I learned of it through my daughters. that there was this special type of app where you could take a picture and you could use this app and you could go in just with a couple touches of a button. No more wrinkles. Anybody know about this app? Am I the only one that's heard of this app? No more wrinkles, no more bags. You can give yourself a tan. You can have white teeth. You can color your hair. You can give yourself hair. Wouldn't that be good for me? All these things, presto, change-o, make yourself look amazing when in reality you do not. And we do that with ourselves sometimes. Tend to view ourselves through the lens of perfection. We use a magnifying glass on other people, but a filter on ourselves. Jesus in this text is telling us, if you're going to judge other people, make sure you apply that same judgment to yourself first. Be honest with yourself first. Hold yourself to the same standard. Hold yourself to the same accountability, the same measure as you do other people. Have the same weights and measures, as it were. Paul will say in Romans, therefore, you are without excuse. And he's speaking to those who do not know the Lord. Again, this is a warning by Christ. Apostle Paul here in Romans 2 warns in the very same way. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, everyone who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same thing. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you presume this, O man, who passes judgment on those who practice such things and does the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? This is the type of judgment you need to be careful of. Are you holding yourself to the same high standard that you use on others? Do you give yourself a pass? The very thing you condemn others with. That's a judgment that God cannot accept. That's a judgment that God will not accept. And this is what the scribes and the Pharisees did. Jesus later on warns them. Scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses, that is, the seat of teaching. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and keep. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. This is not to be you. Over and over again, our Savior warns us of the scribes and Pharisees. You remember the woes. Woe are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, 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 over and over and over again. And in those moments, he is showing his disciples who would have been there with them, do not be like them. And that's the statement. Verse 1, that's the explanation in a nutshell. Verse 2. Now, Jesus gives this illustration. And he uses the absurd to illustrate the absurd. Kind of funny, really. Look with me at verse 3. Do I have verse 3 for you? Let me back. Look at verse 3. And why do you look? One particular word in the Greek. At the speck that is in your brother's eye. But do not notice, different word, the log that is in your own eye. Now, to see a speck in someone's eye, you got to look pretty close. In fact, to see a speck in someone's eye, you got to get right up on them and look into their eyes. It's a speck, of course. It's tiny. A piece of dust. Maybe a piece of straw. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice, different word, the log that is in your own eye? Contrast, you've got a log and you've got a speck. This word log, it's a beam. It's a chunk of timber. You're focused on the other person's speck when you yourself have a 2x4 or a 4x4 sticking out of your own eye. They've got a paper cut, if we put it in biological terms, they've got a paper cut on their finger and you're bleeding from the jugular. What's Jesus trying to get across here? Look first at yourself. Examine yourself honestly. Examine yourself biblically. All judgment starts with you judging you. Examine yourself. Look means to, it's blepo, it's you're looking at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice. Kata noeo. It's a compound word. It means you're not directing your whole mind and soul and thought to that which is in your own eye. You see what's in their eye. And as I said before, you've got to get up pretty close to someone to see a speck in someone's eye, don't you? Did any of you notice this morning when I was talking to you that I put a speck on my eye this morning? I did. I'm like, all right, let's see if anyone notices. I looked at my wife and I'm like, hi, how are you? And I looked at her with my eyes. Maybe she thought I was making googly eyes at her. I was not. I said, all my weirdness will be explained in the sermon. If you look at me right now, I don't know if you can see it. I got a speck in my eye right here. None of you noticed it. You'd have to get right up on me to see it. It is, I don't know. I just used whatever I could find. So the self-righteous, the hypocrite, he gets right up in there. Oh, look. When all the while, he's got a piece of timber sticking out of his eye. Right? Yeah, don't take a picture. Don't do that. But that's what he's talking about. Jesus uses the absurd to show us or illustrate the absurdity. You've got someone who's got this tiny thing in their eye. The other guy's got this huge clump of wood sticking out of his eye. We can be blind to it. Remember David? Nathan comes to David. Nathan relays this parable, as it were, this story of this guy who did this horrible thing in David's life. You got to kill this guy. Remember what Nathan said? That's you, dude. That's you. David didn't even see it. He couldn't tell from the whole story. That's you. That's us. Look closely at yourself as you look as closely at yourself as you did the other person or you do the other person. In verse 3, it's interesting. I've got to have it for you. I know I zoned them out. Give me one second. Verse 3. The hypocrite is looking at the speck in the other person's eye. Or Jesus uses the word you. Why do you look at the speck that is in the other person's eye? Verse 4. He's no longer looking. What is he trying to do in verse 4? The guy with the beam is trying to take the guy with the speck. He's trying to take that out of his eye. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take? He's actually taking action now. This guy with this beam sticking out of his eye. Let me take that speck out of your eye. Folks, this guy shouldn't be touching anybody. He should be in surgery. He's got a beam sticking out of his head. And here he is peering over to take a speck out of someone else's eye. It's hard enough to see a speck. It's hard enough for us to see when we have a speck in our eye. You ever get something in your eye? I'm assuming we all have. What happens to your eye? It swells up, watery, red. You really can't even look up anymore. It's hard enough to do this if you've got a speck in your own eye. Here's a guy who's got a beam sticking out of his eye. He can't see a thing. And he thinks he's in good enough shape to help the other guy with a speck. Do you see what Jesus is getting at? It's the height of arrogance. It's the height of self-righteousness. It is indeed, as Jesus says, the blind leading the blind. And that's why Jesus says in verse 5, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye. What's the matter with you, basically? Deal with your own issues first. And don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a play actor. Don't be a pretender. Of course, we come back to our outline. Statement, do not judge, you will be judged. Verse 1, explanation, clarification. If you're going to judge others, make sure you apply the same judgment to yourself first. Hold yourself to the same standard or accountability as you do other people. The yardstick that you use on others, use on yourself. Then the illustration. Don't be that guy walking around with a 2x4 in his eye trying to fix someone else's eye that they got a speck in their eye. Look to yourself first. Get your own life together first. Get your own act together first. Get your walk with the Lord right first. And then, finally, the designation or the condemnation. And that is this. This person is a hypocrite. And there's that word again. We've seen it several times. We're going to see it a lot more throughout the book of Matthew. God hates the hypocrite. God will judge the hypocrite. Purest example, of course, as I said, is the scribes and the Pharisees who presented themselves as the most righteous among the Jews, yet Jesus saved his most excoriating judgment for those individuals. Calls them a brood of vipers in Matthew 3, if you remember that. He tells us as Christians our righteousness must surpass the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Repeatedly in Scripture, you know what Jesus says to them? And this is one of the oddest things. The scribes were the ones that knew the Word of God. The Pharisees studied the Word of God. You know what Jesus repeatedly says to them? Have you not read? Did you not read? And then at one instance, he says, go back and learn what this means. Go back and read the word again. They're not applying the word of God to themselves first. They're quick to apply to others. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So this is what Jesus is talking about. This is the judgment that he's talking about. This is hypocritical judgment. May it never, ever, ever be found in you. Self-professed Christians who live unholy lives, but pretend they're righteous, judging the people around them. Those who judge in that way will surely be judged by God. Deal with your own issues first. Deal with your own log first. And then note the words of Jesus. Once you've dealt with yourself, We are indeed to judge between truth and falsehood, good doctrine, false doctrine, sinful behavior, and right behavior. First, take the log out of your own eye and what? And then, progression. Confess your sins before the Lord. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. And then, don't just stand there looking at yourself. Don't focus on yourself. Then, you know what to do? Once you've dealt with your own issue, then go out and help your brother with their issue. Perfect example from Scripture. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. The psalmist is crying out to him. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. I'm not inferring that the Holy Spirit can be taken from the true believer. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then what does he say? Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. In other words, Lord, I've come before you. I've seen my sin. I've dealt with it. I've confessed it to you. I've turned. I've repented. All of that. And now I'm going to go help others. You could break all of this down into four parts for understanding purposes. Number one, use the same standard of judgment for yourself that you use for others. Number two, look to yourself first. Am I approaching this person having greater sin in my own life that needs to be dealt with? That's number two. Number three, if you see that, if you notice that, address those issues first. Repent, turn, walk with the Lord, and then help others. This is Jesus telling us it's possible. This is Jesus telling us not to stall at number three, paralyzed in permanent self-inspection. You've dealt with your own willful, ongoing, egregious sins, confessed them, repented of them. Now you can be used by God to help others with their issues. And who better to help someone with a speck in their eye than the person who had a log in their own eye, but by the grace of God it was removed? Above all, finally, don't be a hypocrite. Practice what you preach. Walk the walk you talk. God commands his people to do these things. So, the Lord does not preclude all judgment. He, in fact, commands us to assess truth and error, right and wrong, good and bad. What Jesus is referring to in this text is judgment done in a certain kind of way, and that is hypocritical judgment, self-righteous judgment. Those who judge in that way are like the hypocrites who God hates, like the scribes and the Pharisees. They will not find leniency in the day of judgment. And if you are a true believer, of course, this could not and cannot be you. But it is a warning for us to pay attention to this warning. In the midst of Jesus Christ, as he's preaching this sermon to his disciples, I can guarantee you that there were unbelievers there in terms of those who had been self-deceived. But Jesus gives us all a recipe for self-inflection first, to look at oneself first, and that's what we ought to do. And he ends with verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. The Bible tells us that you and I have this treasure in earthen vessels. We carry with us a treasure, the truths of Scripture, the truths of the gospel, the glorious hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called by God to share that with anyone and everyone who would hear it. But in an effort to live out a holy life and share the gospel, in an effort for us to share the glorious truths of Scripture, to discern good and evil, to discern right and wrong, you're going to come along individuals who absolutely hate it. It's like water in a friolator, if you know what that's like. People whose hatred for Christians and disdain for the truth make them dangerous, and unworthy of the glorious truths that you bring. Notice holy. Notice pearls. Don't cast those pearls before them. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Now, you're going to be asking, well, how will I know the difference? It's a great question. I think you'll just know. Every circumstance is different. Every presentation of the gospel is different. But I think you'll just know. You'll know when you've reached someone you shouldn't. And you know when you've reached a circumstance with an individual when you should stop. I was in California years ago. Don and I, we lived in California for about 3.5 years. I'll never forget this. It was Saturday. They were having a football game next to our high school. It was literally right next to our house, 3 houses up. They had a football game, and we smartly, I think, decided to have a yard sale right there and then, because everybody, our house was situated right on the rear gate. We're like, after a football game, people streamed out. We're like, okay, let's have a yard sale. So we go out there, and we have a yard sale. We had a bunch of stuff out there. And of course, what's our objective? My objective, let's sell this stuff I don't need, but I want to share the gospel. I want to tell people about Jesus Christ. What am I going to do? I'm going to look for opportunities in the course of a conversation to talk about Jesus, mention Jesus, find out where they are, and share the glorious hope of Jesus. So people come in, and we start to do that. And there was this one individual who came in. Do you remember this? He looked relatively normal, older man. Came down in, walked in, was browsing. And we began to chat. I began to talk back and forth. And I don't know, he must have said something that said, okay, I'm going to talk about Jesus with him. And I began to talk to him about Scripture. And his whole demeanor changed. His whole countenance changed. Don't you dare talk to me about that stuff. Do you know Paul was a racist? Not a racist, a rapist. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was a rapist? He raped women and children. And he began to froth them out and yelling at me. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know what this guy's on. But after a couple minutes, I just said, you need to leave, sir. And he kept jarring at me. It's like, sir, you need to leave. And I think that's what this is talking about. You'll know when that time comes, not, okay, I'm not going to do that here. I'm not going to give the gospel here. I'm not going to share any more of these glorious truths. Why? Because this individual may come right at me. Now, I'm a big proponent of always sharing the gospel, always trying to talk to people about the gospel. But in our own lives, sometimes we're going to come across people, you know, you think about dogs. In the ancient times, dogs weren't pets like we have them today. They were actually they could be vicious animals, and we had pigs at one time. We actually had to get rid of them because the pigs began to turn on me. They liked Don. They hated me. Pigs don't care what you feed them. You wouldn't feed them a steak dinner. Another warning by our Savior Jesus Christ, almost as it were on the opposite end of the spectrum. There's a time to give the gospel and time to share the truth, but there are also times when you shouldn't cast holy words to those who hate them and those who will turn on you. Even Jesus did this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Now, did Jesus have the power to do a sign? You bet he did. Did he do a sign? Nope. I'm not going to give you one. Didn't cast his pearls before swine. There are times when Jesus told his disciples not to stay in a town if the gospel was rejected. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, and whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you leave the house of that or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. There were times when Jesus told his disciples not to share any more biblical truth to them with a certain type of people because they were wicked and refused to listen to him. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both are going to fall into a pit. And at a certain point, before Pontius Pilate, even Jesus was silent. You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have the power? Of the authority over you to kill you or release you? And then Jesus spoke. You would have no authority unless it were given. Proverbs, the book of wisdom, tells us to be careful with people Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer lest he hate you. And Jesus, of course, will warn us again in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Listen to this. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Again, in closing, use the same standard of judgment for yourself that you use for others. Number one, look to yourself first. Am I approaching this person having greater sin in my own life that I need to deal with first? Number three, address those issues. Don't just see them, address them. Repent, turn, walk, and then after that, then you can help others. And of course, as I've proclaimed many, many times, don't be a hypocrite. Lastly, and this would be the final verse, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this text, a reminder for all of us to look first to ourselves. Lord, we know that no judgment falls upon the true believer, because in that day we will stand before our Savior and before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will stand before the Father, and our Savior will declare, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," as we have confessed him, and loved him, and sought to follow him, that our own sins have been placed upon his back, and his righteousness, through nothing that we have done, has been applied to us. And so on that day, Lord, we might enter into glory, not because of our own things that we have done, but because of what our Savior Jesus Christ has done. Lord, we recognize and we realize that all eternal judgment belongs to you. That's your domain. Help us to be faithful to you in all the days of our lives, that we might proclaim the gospel, but that we might proclaim it with a life that shows it. Can we judge? Yes, Lord. Should we judge at times? Yes. But Lord, help us to be careful as we do. In Christ's name we pray.